So going back just to your own personal history, what's the ethnic conflict that you said you grew up in?
Well, I mean, I grew up in Punjab, which is a region in India, which when I grew up, and now it's ended, and people hardly remember it, and we never write about anything, was basically, there was a movement then to have a separate Sikh state called the Khalistan Movement, and which was fairly violent, you know, it was led to about, I don't know how many it was, but, you know, definitely fairly violent. So through the 80s, so I was 18 in 91, so through the 80s was where I speak, and I lived in Punjab. So it was, you know, it's what you grew up with, and I'm Sikh, but I'm not a Orthodox Sikh. So you grew up in that context of, mm-hmm. you know, it's your community in one way mm-hmm. and not your community, mm-hmm. and having to take sides in a political situation. And it was ethnic. I mean, there were actually moments where, you know, of course, the state, which also had a majority Sikh police force, but there was still discrimination against Sikhs. There was a sort of a major program, you could call it, in Delhi in 1984. There was, you know, Sikh, and this is it's a very political thing what people call them, you know. Mm-hmm. People who oppose them, like me, call them terrorists. People who support them call them, or more sympathetic, call them militants. It's a bit like Iraq now, you know, the terrorists mm-hmm. or militants. But they would actually pull out people from buses and mm-hmm. you know, sort of kill them if they weren't wearing a turban. Mm-hmm.
And you said you grew up in a refugee camp?
No, I didn't grow up in a refugee camp. My family are refugees from Pakistan. Both sides of my family in 47,
okay.
as Sikhs, had to move from Pakistan. And then we may have had to move out of Punjab if there had been a separate Sikh state as not very orthodox Sikh. So, you know, this sort of, you know, why does mm-hmm. this ethnic conflict, if you want to call it that, has in a sense informed my personal history.
Mm-hmm. So what is it that made you decide to get involved with the ICTR? I mean, what specific things happened that, you know, at some point you said, okay, I'm going to go and get to know what this is about in a really personal way?
It's bizarre. It was very accidental. I mean, I've always kept an interest. But, you know, for 7 years I worked in corporate America, you know, as business development. So from 95. to 2002. Mm-hmm. I went back to get a JD in 2002. And I really, you know, never thought I would do criminal defense. Furthest thing from my mind. My first summer, I was at the ACLU, you know, in San Francisco, very human rights. I applied to be an intern here. And I came out here in 2004 for 6 months, basically my fourth semester in JD. And, you know, very, very idealistic UN court. I didn't want to go to, and I knew more about Yugoslavia, but I thought Rwanda court is in Africa, it's going to be a more interesting experience. So that was it. It was not really well thought out why I came out here. Mm-hmm. That's what brought me here first.
So before we carry on with the conversation around specific questions, mm-hmm. You've been involved with this particular trial for 4 or 5 years now. Is there anything, any reflections about your experience with that you'd like to share with us?
You know, it's hard to be, you know, even I'm about 35 now, so it's not that much of my life. I'm not in my 20s, but still, 5 years is a significant part of your life. It's been really an interesting experience, but that's a fairly banal statement, actually. It's, how do I put it? It's, I don't think, you know, it's not just being in the trial, it's like being here. It's sort of this intensity, you know. You don't go home when you're working in Arusha, because home is a bunch of other lawyers. You're living these cases. And I'm not even equating it with it, but it's like work. You know, the closest thing, I remember thinking about it because I read this quote from Charlie Chaplin. He said, when you're working on a movie set, it's like, you know, you die from normal life. And that's what it's like this. You know, you never get a bill here. You know, none of your normal lives, we've all, you know, our normal lives have kind of you know, our friendships, we maintain mm-hmm. some of them, but it's really hard. They've really taken courses which are very, very different. And it happens to all of us. I mean, it's happened to us to a large extent. We're not here all the time, but still it's happened to us a lot of things. So there's a big effect of being in this because it's very intense. You're removing yourself to another place to work just on a trial. And everybody else that mostly you know is also working in one way or the other with the court. So just from a social aspect, you know, it's a bit like going to camp or going to a boarding school or going to on a movie set, I guess, with the Charlie Chaplin analogy, you know, and sort of it's very, very intense. Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing this again because I've restarted a private practice now in India, and you know, there's normality, you know, you don't go out every evening with a bunch of lawyers and discuss what you worked on during the day, mm-hmm. which is good and bad, because nobody cares what you've done during the day, the bad part, but mm-hmm. yeah, but it's that aspect of it.